Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Markentum. If you love listening to Bridge the Gap, we have a special offer for you. Josh and Lucas will be recording live at the Interface Southeast Conference in Atlanta, August 29th. The conference focuses on the state of senior housing investment, development, operations, and financing across markets, and will provide excellent networking. If you'd like to meet Josh and Lucas and see firsthand how the podcast is created, register for Interface using promo code BTG and receive 5% off your registration.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. I'm here with Josh and Lucas. We are the co-hosts of our favorite show, our favorite podcast. We've got our heart and soul behind, and we're so thankful for everybody that's been listening. And if this is the first time that you've listened to Bridge the Gap podcast, we just really want to welcome you to the show.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I mean, it's been an exciting year for us. We launched Bridge the Gap. We're multiple episodes, multiple weeks in. I've even lost track because we've had such an exciting time.
Yeah,
we've been all over the country together. We've been at all kinds of conferences together. And that's on top of what we do for our day jobs, right? Yes. And so it's an exciting times, I think, you know, for Bridge the Gap. It's an exciting times for me and you. And we've grown closer through this, and we were already good buds to begin with. So it's been a great time. I thank our listeners, because without them and their feedback that we've been getting, which is so positive, you know, and we're hearing that, we're getting emails, we're getting texts, we're getting messages on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, and people stopping us. So it's really pretty cool. It's cool to experience.
Well, and I think it's what we hoped, but we started this and we sat down, and people that have been listening, thank you for the people that have been listening for a while. If you go back to our very first show, it was our show about our why. But I think that it's healthy for us to talk about it, and then also for the new people that are listening to kind of just rehash that, is that we sat down, actually it was the end of last year, you and I were talking about how can we create something that is a continual conversation. We go to these conferences and we have these discussions, and then we all go our separate ways, and then everybody goes back into their little silos, and it just doesn't seem like that momentum carries, at least for us. You know, we can't speak for other people, but for us, that's what it seemed like. And we said, how can we create something that's a continual conversation? And I think it was actually you. You were like, let's do a podcast. And we were like, do you know how? No. Do you know how? But we'll figure it out. And so we figured it out, and it's just been an amazing thing. And so why did we start this? Why did we start to do this for senior living?
Well, I mean, you alluded to it. You know, from us, from our why, it matched up. We go to these conferences and not only see each other, we were saying, man, we never get to see each other except at conferences. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And the only time we were communicating was at conferences. So there was this gap in between all the conferences, and we go to a lot of conferences. We're blessed to be able to do that. A lot of people don't get to go to a lot of the shows that we get to go to and interact. But even then, it's so infrequent with all the complex issues that we face. And so I think a lot of it was just like, what did we see as a need that we would like to partake of, or what do we see? And so, again, crazy idea. Two guys that had never done a podcast before. I didn't even listen to a lot of podcasts, but the few searches I had done, you know, there's some material out there. But I think one of the things that we wanted to do in our show is not all the time just be me and you talking. How much value is it when you bring the stakeholders of an industry together?
Yeah.
Everyone from the developers, the owners, the operators, the partners that make our businesses possible, that make the communities possible. And then let's not forget the consumers, the residents and their families, and all those that are also looking into our industry. And we've talked a lot about that on our podcast, about what's the perception of our industry and how can we help shape that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of whys, but it boils down to, from, you know, my perspective, is what can we do to inform, to educate, and to influence the industry that you and I care so much about. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that I've appreciated, that I think our viewers that are watching us on social media and YouTube and our listeners, which is our primary platform, you know, on iTunes, is they're sensing that we generally love our industry and we care about what we do. It's not just our day job. And so, you know, if I could summarize, I'd say that's the why.
So, Josh, let me ask you this. Why did you get started in senior living yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, I wish I could give you this 2-point answer or 3-point answer. For me, it was not really intentional on my part. Looking back now in hindsight, I can see that there was through my younger years and how I was brought up in my family, the influences in my life, the situations I was in, some of my own doing, some of just happening to me. I can see that there was kind of this divine hand moving me to where I needed to be. And I don't want to get all spiritual on our show, but I do believe there was,
let's go there.
Yeah. I do believe there was definitely some divine intervention that led me to this blessed career I've been in. But, literally, you know, I was at a tough point in life. I was about to get married. I was going to become a provider. I was working multiple jobs and I was looking for something. I didn't know what I wanted to do, first of all. So
How old were you?
When I was looking, I was 24.
Okay.
Okay. So I was very directionless on exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't have any particular specialty. I was selling real estate and I was carrying bottles of water and I was helping to start up a couple little businesses. Not making money doing anything,
right.
Working my tail off. But I knew that none of that was rewarding or fulfilling for me. And whatever I did permanently in the job I was seeking, I wanted to be able to make a positive impact in people's lives. But I didn't know what. And I had an opportunity. I'll spare you all the details. But a wonderful entrepreneur out of the Houston area, out of the Houston Medical Center, had a startup. There was a mutual connection, and the guy asked me, you know, Josh, I was told about you from another gentleman. Would you be interested in helping out with a venture that I'm just started in this industry called senior living? And he said, do you know what senior living is? And I said, have no clue. Never heard of it. Well, do you like old people? And I said, I don't know. You know, I love my grandparents. And he said, well, that's a good start. That's a prerequisite. So long story short, the gentleman flew me out, told me all about it, showed me his first community. A few months later, I had taken the position, and it was really an open-ended position. It was learn the industry. We'll figure out where you need to fit in. So lived in the community for a while, got to work in a lot of different positions as my training. And then I got the opportunity shortly after that to oversee the startup efforts of a new community in my hometown, which was great. And that was my trajectory. From that point, I learned very quickly the business, and that's when the passion started really burning, and I realized this was the place for me. I can tell you it was not a good paying job. It was very rewarding. And I just kept getting thrown in the deeper end of the pool. Every time I would get a little bit comfortable, they kept challenging me. So really grateful for the opportunities and that the industry found me. I didn't find it. So that's a long story of a much longer story,
right?
Of how I got into it.
So take us a little bit from that place to now, because you're now the founder and CEO of Salinity. Things are on the move. There's a lot of attention around you and your company. And so you started off at a very humble beginning in the industry. You know, to me, as an outsider looking into your story, it sounds like you were probably destined to be a founder at some sort of a business. But you found this industry of senior living and you've continued to do that. You could have gone into any vertical of real estate, but you've chosen to stay in seniors. So why is that?
So for me, it was about the love stories, you know, the love stories that, of people that invested in me, of me being able to invest in seniors and their families' lives and team members. That's a really rewarding aspect of what we do, is challenging people in the same way I was challenged and seeing them get it and have those aha moments mm-hmm. and seeing the love connection that really happens and the sweet stories between the team members in our communities that work so hard. You know, I know our communities in our industry oftentimes gets a bad rap, but there's so much good that takes place between the residents and their families and these valuable team members that are so compassionate. So, you know, for me, it was really about that. That's what got me. And then the challenge, there's always a challenge. You never can have it figured out. Right. And so anybody that says they have senior living figured out or they're a senior living expert, I usually walk the other way, because I think anyone that's been doing this for any length of time knows that there's endless opportunities for improvement and adding value to people's lives. So for me, that was the real opportunity. I will say I never, even right up until the point where I decided I would start my own venture, mm-hmm. I never had ambition in my own mind of I'm going to be a CEO one day. I always thought of myself as I really want to help people succeed.
Sure.
And I spent most of my career, the first 10 years, doing that and helping owners make their visions a reality at the community level, at the regional level, at the corporate level. And what for me, I really realized is that a lot of people don't have the same motivation as me. And I saw a lot of things that we could do better and that I wanted to try to do better. And so for me, being able to try to have a little bit more control over that destiny was really what caused me to take the leap of faith. It's been very rewarding, very challenging. So, you know, that's the motivation. And again, the short version of how you get to this point. So
what, with that vision and that being said, how is that playing out in Salinity practically and tactically today, only a few months after it started?
Yeah, so I think a couple of ways. So Salinity, we're investing a lot of time in a few different buckets, and we're investing time in what I would say is future, right? And it's not necessarily, it's very sexy because everybody wants to know what is the next generation of senior housing, and everybody wants to talk about it. There's not that many people doing it because when you're talking about next generation, the next generation's not here yet.
Right.
So it's very difficult to make money doing that.
Right.
And most people are really interested in how can I turn this effort immediately into a profit, into a revenue stream. So for us, we know that's going to come. We want to be on the edge of that, and we want to help lead in the thought. So we're investing a lot of time and energy into helping to help those people that are interested in the same thing deliver valuable resources and assets to, you know, the populations that we serve. So that's the one thing. On a daily basis, we are really helping a lot of groups take their assets that they have right now, whether that's communities, team members, and help them retool, re-engineer, not only cultural things that help the communities that they're in right now be more meaningful, but how do they position for the next wave and be relevant for a long time? And then the real fun thing for us is some things that we get to do, like bridge the gap.
Yeah.
Right. Me and you spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like work. It's a lot of fun. We meet all kinds of great people. We learn a lot by talking with each other, by our guests. We're able to be part of some groups like Leading Age Tennessee and some other provider organizations. And I kind of put those things in the influence bucket, right? Those are things that we're not doing these things for returns, right? We're doing these things. How can we push people forward? How can we pull ourselves forward? Mm-hmm. How can we lead and shape thought? Had an awesome opportunity to help found a big event last year that raises money for Alzheimer's. That's in that influence bucket. You know, we can all do the treatment side of it in our communities, but how can we also shape that? You know, it's something we want to find a cure for. We want to lead out in research. We want to lead out in efforts and in communication. So kind of everything that touches our space, we have strategic initiatives. Well, how can we get involved in that? Not even from we're going to be the experts in it, but how can we further that? Because ultimately it helps us all. So Bridge the Gap is just one example of that. Right. It's so much fun. So that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think that's a good transition to talk maybe just a little bit more about our show. What have you been hearing? Well, I know what you've been hearing because you've told me, so I don't want to pretend like I haven't heard it. So tell our audience just some of the feedback that you've been getting in a short amount of time about our show.
Yeah. So, and I'm also going to say, you know, you didn't give me an opportunity to tell your why. So here in just a minute,
we'll get there.
You're not off the hook. So in just a minute, I want to hear that because I've heard little bits and pieces of it because we've talked a lot.
Sure.
But we've never like sat down and had a lot of these kind of conversations together. We just so happen that all of our listeners are getting to listen to. So I'm glad they can hear your heart. So I'm getting a lot of, surprisingly, known as the Bridge the Gap guy, like, or you're the podcast guy, which is very weird to me, like, right? Because one, it's kind of shocking how many people are listening. The crowd is growing. Mm-hmm. It lets me know that there's a need out there. And I can tell you, there's a great appreciation, and that's the most rewarding thing. Thank you guys for doing the show. Our industry needs this.
Yeah.
Well, why does our industry need this? That'll be the next thing. I agree with you, but why do you think our industry needs this? It brings us together. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of that. And I think you and I have talked about this. I think because the nature of business is it can be competitive, right? Yeah. And you have a lot of operators, you have a lot of developers, you have a lot of lending institutions. And if we're not really careful, we get so in our silos every day, and we get so of, let's grab all the information that we can and let's tell our team about it, but let's not necessarily share ideas.
Sure.
So we have a very non-threatening platform for people to get on our show.
Yep.
We bring some of the greatest personalities and leadership and thought leaders we've already had on our show.
It's been a lot of fun.
And if you look at the upcoming lineup, I mean, like, I get giddy, like, thinking about, wow, these are people I just hope to meet someday, and they're on our show talking to us.
Sure.
So you get great information that's in a non-threatening environment. They can provide us feedback. We can ask the tough questions, and we're just facilitating conversation a lot of times that everyone is benefiting from.
Right.
So I'm hearing that a lot.
Right.
I'm also hearing that it's fun. Like, people enjoy watching the show. They're entertaining. They're being entertained. Mm-hmm. And the format, a lot of people, I didn't realize because I wasn't a big podcast listener. I listened to news talk and things like that when I'm driving and not on the phone. But a lot of people love that they know it's a weekly show. Mm-hmm. They know they can count on it to be there Monday morning and hear the fresh episode on their drive to work or on their flights to wherever they're going. They can download it and listen to it later. So it's video too. That's another thing. People love that it's unique because not too many podcasts are also video. And so that's just some of the things I'm hearing. What about you?
Well, and I will say this too, for those that may be new to the show and just listening now, is that you're able to actually go back and listen to the older episodes.
Right.
And when I say older, it just means a little bit of a moment in time. The topics and the guests that we bring on are really standalone topics and guests that could have been 6 months from now, could have been 6 months earlier. And so there's no reason. It's not a show about tech. It's not a show about the hottest trends in social media today. It's a show about senior living, and we're bringing on guests that have a particular interest in a particular sector that want to talk about a particular topic that really it transcends a little bit of the time. I mean, maybe 10 years from now it won't make sense, but for now, in an annual basis, it's a really good thing that if you are just now tuning in, there's no reason that you can't go back and listen to the slash, you know, quote unquote older episodes, because they'll make sense to you as well. And so I think that's a great format that helps draw in new people, that they have a library of topics to listen to. I will say that I just spoke to somebody this week. She has an educational platform where she trains nursing staff and people that are trying to get into leadership positions in senior living. And she told me candidly that she loves listening to our show, and she's recommending that other people listen to it to get informed and educated as well, which, I mean, it gave me goosebumps. I've been really just grinning ear to ear ever since I heard that, because it was so reinforcing to me that that's exactly, it's a big reason of why we're doing this.
Well, and along those same lines, you know, a lot of this we hoped for, and I think some of the things that are happening was bigger than we ever really imagined. I know some of the conferences, we've been at a lot of conferences, we talked about that earlier, they're now calling us saying, hey, you know, next year you're at our conference. Yeah. We want you here. We want you talking about everything that's going on. That's going to be an awesome opportunity for our listeners as well, because some of the great speakers that, you know, maybe they had to miss a conference or they had to miss something. They couldn't make it to one of the big shows that they'd normally go to. Chances are they're going to be on our show. Yes. And they're going to be talking about what they were talking about. And you can listen to it over and over and over again. So exactly. That's exciting.
Exactly. Well, and you know, we know this very well. These conferences are packed full of value. And it does cost money to go, which we're glad to pay because of the value. We know that the value is there. But not everybody can go because they have communities to run. They have jobs. They have families and areas. They're caregivers. And a lot of times they can't go to all these national shows. So it's our privilege really to take that information. And I think that's a responsibility that we are taking with the show to just say, hey, let's get this information out. We want to be connectors. Right?
That's right.
That's really what we
That's right. And we're committed to doing that 52 weeks a year. Like we were just talking about that. It's hard to believe how many shows we've already done.
Yes.
Because we are having a great time. It is a lot of work. It's a big commitment. We were just laughing around like, what are we going to do for Christmas? You know, like, let's have a Christmas podcast. So
right.
It's exciting, you know, the things that we're doing. But we are committed to delivering that message on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we are so thankful and so grateful for the people that are writing us and chiming in. Your feedback is so unbelievably helpful to us because it lets us know, hey, we're on the right path, we're doing this. I mean, when I sit down with people, you know, when I'm trying to source guests, just like you are, sometimes you'll write or our producer Sarah will say, hey, here's a good guest. Or I'll say, hey guys, here's a guest. Look at this headline. You know, I think we should get them on the show. One of the ways that I describe our show, because I'm trying to cover a lot of ground very, very quickly so that they understand and have some context, I say our show is very well produced. I genuinely believe because of our partnership, that, which we are not, you and I are not, you know, in the back room on the computers producing this all together to get the great audio and the bumper music and all that put together. We have partners that help us do that. I genuinely believe that it's a top 100 podcast quality, right? And so with that being said, when I sit down with people, I say, in general, the format of our show, it's a little bit organic. We want to have a discussion. We don't want it to be, it's not NPR. It's not a scripted out. We're not journalists, right?
Right.
And the way I describe it to people is I say, basically, there's two dudes in senior living that have a podcast that sit down with people and hit record.
Exactly. And two very different dudes. Like, yeah. We have a kindred spirit, but we come from very different backgrounds. You, you know, had me share a little bit. It's important for our listeners to know you don't actually come from the senior living background. You're a partner to the senior living and senior living's number one fan and so involved in it every single day, but you're not an operator, which I think is bizarre, but tell your why.
Well, so that is an amazing segue that all of our listeners are going to have to listen to part two of this episode of Bridge the Gap, where we dive into Josh and Lucas. So thank you everybody for listening to this episode of Bridge the Gap.
See ya.
Meet Josh and Lucas at the Interface Southeast Conference in Atlanta, August 29th. Use promo code BTG at registration and receive 5% off. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.